Good afternoon. Interesting day already. Again, the New King James Version, after Jesus had healed, said something about this man being born blind, and they were asking the question, was it because of his sin or the sin of his parents, which was contrary to. Jesus was basically said to them, the Father doesn't care. He has come to make people whole. He's come to heal and restore. You're concerned as to what they did wrong to get them there. He's concerned with healing them. That's the good news, right? Now, extrapolate that to your own walk with the Lord. Does it matter to him when you sin? Yes, it does. Does it grieve him? Yes, it does. Is he a big boy and he can take it? Yes, he can. But it grieves him because he knows what sin costs you. And so he came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So when you blow it, he's not infatuated with or consumed with a sin consciousness. His consciousness, I've come to make you whole. That's why when the prodigal son came home, the father never even talked to him about what he had done. It was enough to the father that the son had come home. The son got it. That's all he needed to know. And he just wanted to restore him. You with me? But these guys were practicing the theology of their people of God that day, which was everything's because of what you've done wrong, or you only get rewarded because you've done something right. As we mentioned yesterday, healing is not a reward for our good behavior. It's a reward for his good behavior. But in verse 3, the New King James Version says, I must work the works of him who sent me as long as it's still today. Night is coming, when no man can work. But the New American Standard says, we must work the works of him who sent me, which is the proper translation. So when Jesus is, this is a big pivotal moment for Christ and discipleship, because they're judging people based on what the people had done or not done, and they're judging people based on whether you deserve something from God or not. And Jesus is saying to them, we must work the works of him who sent us, and he doesn't think like that. He just sees broken humanity and wants to heal and restore. That's who he is. As I mentioned yesterday, if you have a servant mindset, then what you feel all the time is pressure. But if you understand your sonship, whether you're male or female, that you've been grafted into the sonship of Jesus, then what you feel is favor. There's a big difference. And he's trying to teach them, we have this work to do, the one who sent me. Because Jesus said later in John, even as the Father has sent me, so send I you. But you have to understand, you've been sent to carry the favor of the Father, the goodness of God. You've not been sent to judge. Jesus said, I came into the world not to judge the world, but that through me the world might be saved. I remember a story, some of you who've been around long enough, a story Betty Brennan told, one of my favorite Betty Brennan stories. She had been to Israel a bunch of times, and she was over there doing a conference with some other people from the New York area. And I think she was one of the speakers, maybe the main speaker. But she was being mistreated in some way by a couple of people that were part of the conference. And so she got really upset about that and called her husband Joe and asked Joe to bless her to get on a plane and come home and leave the conference. And so Joe was encouraging her, don't do that, don't leave the conference, that kind of thing. And so Betty, after talking to Joe, decided she would do what she'd done many times, and that was to walk the Via Della Rosa. Now, the Via Della Rosa is the way of the cross, and many times people take a cross, they'll carry the cross, do the Via Della Rosa, and Betty had walked that many times as a devotional. And so she decided to do that again, just to seek the Lord. That was her way of seeking the Lord's heart and mind about all that's going on. And so she walked the Via Della Rosa, and as she got towards the end, she tripped and fell. And it kind of knocked her out. And when she woke up, and it was dark, which is not where you want to be in that part of old Jerusalem. But she had this vision. And in this vision, she saw the cross. And it was like a big cross. And then the cross started getting closer and closer to her. And then she could tell that on that cross were millions of faces attached to the cross. Millions of different faces, humanity. She could see it was like all of humanity. And but she could hear a sound. She couldn't make out the sound. And as the cross got closer and closer, she could hear all of the voices saying, help me, love me, heal me. And she realized that in that moment that the bad behavior by the two people against her was a sign of their brokenness. And even though it was their bad behavior, they were actually through their behavior going, love me, help me, heal me. Wouldn't that be amazing if that became part of your consciousness? How would you respond to people's bad behavior, even in your own family, differently? It would cause you to love them more, not to pray about rebuking them, protecting you from them, doing whatever you think you need to do. It would be about how to heal them, not to just embrace what they're doing, but to heal them, how to bring healing to their life, that by your stripes, maybe they're going to get healed. Maybe you're the instrument God will use. There's a place in Scripture where Jesus said, when you've done it to the least of one of these, you've done it to me. Now, I don't think the least he was talking about were the least of all those who are Christians who've given their life to Jesus and who are walking with the Lord. That's not what he said. Jesus uniquely in his incarnation identified himself with all of humanity. He clothed himself in broken humanity. And when Jesus was referenced as the least of them, it's the lost, it's the saved, it's who's ever vulnerable or broken in that moment. That could be somebody. Mother Teresa used to say the poorest people she'd ever known are the richest people who live in the West. And so the least doesn't just mean those who are poor physically. Doesn't just mean those who are this or whatever. As I told you, when I was over in Georgia, I was stunned by that place we were at, the respite care for the children who were beyond handicapped, beyond anything I've seen in a long time, and how they just cared for them for free. It was a ministry. They just would feed them and give them stuffed animals, give them a sense of purpose and love, and just amazing. And those obviously are the least of these. The dying are the least of these. But the angry are the least of these. The adulterer are the least of these. The bitter are the least of these. The critical are the least of these. The gossipers are the least of these. All of broken humanity. Those who are just hurting and vulnerable in a moment are the least of these. Jesus said, when you do it to the least of these, you've done it to him. Interesting, so I was driving to the hospital today to meet the ambulance to be with Gloria and Kiana, her daughter. And so when they pull up, you know, that you can't go in with her, you have to go around and go through the whole waiting area. So I went and waited, and when I was driving over there, the Lord was said to me, I'm going to start showing you my face in humanity. I thought, wow. And so I've known the truth that he's clothed himself in his distressing disguise, and whenever a person's in a moment hurting or sinning or whatever, all those are the least of these. Whatever falls short of wholeness, because there's no tears in heaven, so whatever falls short of heaven's norm is the least of these. And so it was so cool to walk in the hospital, and I got to meet Gloria's two sisters. Kiana was there, and there were others who go through security. But to literally see the face of Jesus, like transposed over their faces, like their faces would be there, then his face, like in and out kind of thing, you know what I'm saying? Man, that was so cool. And so I'm saying all that is to say that we're privileged when Jesus said, I want you to stop thinking about why they're the least of these in this moment. All that's concerning is that God wants to display his works in this person born blind. That's what he said. God wants to display his glory, his works in this person. Now, how does that affect things like inner healing ministries and deliverance ministries? Although those things have value, for sure they do. But not if it's all about digging around. It's just the digging around doesn't help. What they need is an encounter with Jesus. You hear me? That's important. That's the thing. We see this in Scripture. I'm all for inner healing. We do that. That's a part of our world. But only if you're always moving towards Jesus, never just about what's going on. You know, can we trace this back to your Norwegian background? I mean, good Lord Almighty, you know. We could eventually trace it all back to Adam, right? And everything every other culture has ever done, has ever branched out, it's not that complicated. There are certain key things God will show us that will help them understand. He understands. He has compassion. And he brings healing. But like I had an alcoholic father who was wonderful, but he was an alcoholic, so we had trauma every day. If I went through every memory to get healed, I would spend like 2,000 years before I get to go to heaven as I went through every memory because it happened every day. He just picks out key things to do stuff. But here, he's just saying, all you need to know is the God of favor, the Father, loves to heal and make whole the least of these, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And then he says, we must do the works of him while it is still day. This is I wanted to read this to you. I love this statement. This is not a Chuck statement. I mean, I own it now. I will, because it's powerful. God has fashioned you and me to be the answer to other people's prayers as we co-labor with him. And someone's breakthrough is on the other side of your obedience and mine. Isn't that powerful? You know, that was so cool about being in the hospice. I don't know if I even got to tell Donna the story, but the, I don't know if I tell you about the social worker. So when I first got there, the next morning, I was just there, and the daughter was there. And I'd seen the social worker the day before, really sweet, happy, vivacious person seemed to be. And the Lord just began to show me her life story a little bit. But I wanted to wait to the right moment. And so Nancy was in the room, whether Nancy heard or not, I want to believe she did. But I just began to tell her, I said, the Lord showed me that. I said, you were really hurt and this different stuff, and you've done this. And God just opened up her life, and she began to tell me her story. It was so cool. And that's why she was so attentive that day when we were sitting with Rachel, and she wanted to know if we wanted some coffee or stuff, but I couldn't. I was on the phone. I couldn't talk to her. Again, God has fashioned you and me to be an answer to prayer, an answer to other people's prayers as we co-labor with him, and to be someone's breakthrough is on the other side of your obedience. What if I had not paid attention? What if I had not spoken this to this person there? You with me? I know she had a breakthrough because I watched what God did. Also, today at the hospital, seeing Jesus, ministering to Christ and his distressing disguise, not just to Kiana, but to her sisters, to that whole trauma reality of the emergency room. Jesus said, it is neither that this man sin nor his parents, albeit that the works of God might be displayed in him. Jesus said, that's the deal. Now we must work the works of God. Man, if I'd have been one of those disciples and I heard that, I'd have walked away from there going, yeah, awesome. That we get to do this. We get to bring the favor of God to people. And that's God's calling on all of us. It's not for some people who have the gift of healing. Jesus has the gift of healing. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the things that this, I love this too. This is a little statement. We've talked about this before. If fruit happens out in the limb, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. When you step out, expect God to show up. Don't you like that? When you step out, expect God to show up. Okay? All of humanity, like the people that you really dislike, who act crazy, do stupid things politically, everywhere else, instead of us being having such conversation of judgment and what side we're on, you know what side we're on? The Father's side, the one who wants to heal and make whole. When I hear nonsense, whether it comes from a conservative or liberal, what I hear is, help me, love me, heal me. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.